Chapter 1. Starting with Manhattan and the Battle of FDR Drive. He forgets his own name somewhere in the tunnel to Penn Station. He doesn't notice, at first. Too busy with all the stuff people usually do when they're about to reach their train stop. Cleaning up the pretzel bags and plastic bottles of breakfast, stuffing his loose laptop power cord into a pocket of his messenger bag, making sure he's gotten his suitcase down from the rack, then having a momentary panic attack before remembering that he's only got one suitcase. The other was shipped ahead and will be waiting for him at his apartment up in Inwood, where his roommate already is, having arrived a few weeks before. They're both going to be grad students He's forgotten his school's name. Anyway, orientation is on Thursday, which gives him 5 days to get settled into his new life in New York. He's really going to need those days, too, sounds like. As the train slows to a halt, people are murmuring, whispering, peering intently at their phones and tablets with worried looks on their faces. Something about a bridge accident, terrorism just like 9/11. He'll be living and working uptown, so it shouldn't impact him too much, but still, it's maybe not the best time to move here. But when is it ever a good time to make a new life in New York City? He'll cope. He'll more than cope. The train stops, and he's first through the door. He's excited, but trying to play it cool. In the city, he will be completely on his own, free to sink or swim. He has colleagues and family members who think of this as exile, abandonment, although in the flurry of the moment he cannot remember any of those people's names or faces. But that doesn't matter, because they can't understand. They know him as he was, and maybe who he is now. New York is his future. It's hot on the platform and crowded on the escalator, but he feels fine. Which is why it's so weird when he reaches the top of the escalator and suddenly, the instant his foot touches the polished concrete flooring, the whole world inverts. Everything in his vision seems to tilt, and the ugly ceiling fluorescence turns stark, and the floor kind of heaves. It happens fast. The world pulls inside out, and his stomach drops. And his ears fill with a titanic, many-voiced roar. It's a familiar sound, to a degree. Anyone who's been to a stadium during a big game has heard something similar. Madison Square Garden sits on top of Penn Station, so maybe that's it. This sound is bigger, though. Millions of people instead of thousands. And all of those voices doubled back on each other and swelling and shifting into layers beyond sound, into color and shaking and emotion until he claps his hands over his ears and shuts his eyes, but it just keeps coming. But amid all of the cacophony, there is a through line, a repeated motif of sound and word and idea. One voice, screaming fury.
Fuck you! You don't belong here. This city is mine. Get out.
And the young man wonders in confused horror. Me? Am I the one that doesn't belong? There is no answer. And the doubt within him becomes an unignorable backbeat of its own. All at once, the roar is gone. A new roar, closer and echoing and indescribably smaller, has replaced it. Some of it is recorded, blaring from PA speakers overhead.
New Jersey Transit train southbound, stopping at Newark Airport, now boarding on track 5.
The rest is the sound of a gigantic space full of people going about their business. He remembers then, as it resolves around him, Penn Station. He does not remember how he ended up on one knee beneath a train schedule sign with a shaking hand plastered over his face. Wasn't he on an escalator? He also doesn't remember ever before seeing...